Alright, sorry about that. Good evening, it's good to see you again. Let's all turn our Bibles, if we will, to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. We are going to start a short series, I say short, I don't know, on the remnant of God. The title of this series will be The Remnant of God. Ezra chapter 9, I want you to listen closely, not the way I read it, because I probably mispronounced his names, but to what God is saying here. And when we read this, think about today. Think about this scripture that was written by Ezra thousands of years ago and what's happening today. Verse 1 says, "Now when these things were done, the prince came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations." Don't it sound like today? Huh? "Even in of the Canaanites, Hittites, and of the Perizzites, and Jebusites, and Ammonites, and the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Ammonites. For they have taken their daughters for themselves, and for their sons, and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the people of the princes and rulers have been chief in these trespasses. And when I heard these things, I rent and my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished." Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, I have been angry. And sometimes Rebecca gets on me because I get angry. But I have never in my life been angry. But we ought to be. The things that's happening today in the Lord's churches, some of them, we ought to be mad. It's time for Christians to stand up and be mad. "Then were assembled unto me, everyone that trembled at the word of God of Israel." So, some of us still trembling at the word of God. Do you? I do. But I don't think a lot of people today in churches tremble at the word of God. "Because of the transgressions of those that have been carried away, I sat astonished even until the evening sacrifice." Verse 5, "In the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, and fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God." Maybe that's what we need to do. Get our knees, spread our hands to God. "And said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities have increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto these days. And for our iniquities we have our king and our priest being delivered into the land of the kings of the lands, to the swords, even captivity, to the spoil, and to the confession of faith, as it is this day." Verse 8, "And now for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape. In other words, the Lord left him a remnant. Isn't that wonderful? And give us a small nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God had not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, and given us reviving and to set up in the house of God, and to repair the desolations therefore, and to give us a wall of Judah and in Jerusalem. I'm going to stop there, because the point in all this is the people of Israel, like they always have been very disobedient to God. They have been very disloyal to God that was so gracious unto them. They have been very withdrawn from the Lord, separated from the Lord, and they go out and they do things. Here they were taking their own daughters. Ezra was upset, and included himself with them, and we ought to include ourselves in Christianity today, because as he was with Israel, we are with Christianity. We sometimes get caught up in our own church and don't pay much attention to the other part of real Christianity. I'm not talking about the Armenian churches. I'm talking about Sovereign Grace Church. And the way some of the members are. And we have to look at that instead of saying, oh, well, those people just don't care no more. We ought to get angry. And we need to fall on our knees before the Lord and stretch our hands up to heaven and say, oh, my Lord, what's going on? God gave him a remnant. God always has that remnant, doesn't he? God always has that remnant. So we're going to be looking at the remnant of God. If you will, turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 9. We'll be going back to Ezra chapter 9, but right now we're going to go over to Romans chapter 9. I have a longer doctrine I'm going to read. And the reason I wrote this all out so I could remember exactly the way I wanted to put it. What we are looking at in this world is a remnant of God. A lot of people understand election to a point. I understand a little bit of it as choosing, God choosing a people. But sometimes in people's minds, they can't understand what takes place throughout the Bible as far as the remnant of God and the connection we have to the Old Testament and New Testament as Christians. Christians and Jews are not separate. We're all one. We're all one in this world. We all go back to one man and one woman. I don't care what race you are, what nationality you are, who you are, what you are. We all go back. Every human being goes back to two people. We separate ourselves. God separated us, but we also separate ourselves. Well, I'm from Texas. I'm from Arkansas. Well, I'm from Louisiana. Like it means something. Texas ain't no better than Louisiana or Arkansas or any other place. They're just as filthy here as they are in other states, aren't they? So we're speak on the remnant of God And through it, we're speaking of God's chosen vessels. The vessels of God has been made to bring honor to God. They are called vessels of honor. In Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, Paul wrote these words, "But nay, O man, who art thou that repellest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, What hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Yes, it does, doesn't it? See, people want to say, well, God doesn't have a right to do that. He doesn't have a right to choose one people over another people. Well, who says he doesn't? God has a right to do anything he wants to do. God is the creator of everything that exists. Not just in this world, but in the universe, in the heavens, in the third heavens. If it is in creation, it belongs to God. He is the potter. And we are nothing more than clay. And God can take a lump of clay and he made this vessel unto honor, this other vessel unto dishonor, if that's what he pleases to do. Don't tell God what he can and cannot do. He does as he wants, as he chooses. That's what I just said here, wasn't it? And those that God makes, whatever he makes them, has no right to complain. People are not sinners because of God. Let's understand something. Sin does not reign in this world because of God. He created it for his own glory. But he did not create Adam and Eve sinners. Nor did he create anyone else a sinner. The vessels that God made unto honor are God's chosen vessels. The ones that he made unto dishonor are not. They are left in this world of filth. They are left as sinners and will die sinners. There's no changing it. There's no doing away with whatever it is that God has chosen to do. We have no right to question God. I have no right to brag that God has chosen me to be an honor vessel. Or vessel of honor, if way you really look at it. Nor have I got any right to brag that I'm a pastor of a church. Or even a member of a church. Because everything I am in my life as a Christian, according to Ephesians 2:10, God has made me thus. From a church member to a Christian to a pastor and whatever else I accomplish in my life. It is God accomplishing it through me. So the Lord says here, he's asking the question here, doesn't the potter have power over the clay? And people have to ask themselves that. People in this world refuse to believe in God's chosen remnant. While they have no problem believing that God has a right to choose his elect nation, Israel. Does anybody have a problem with that? No. I never hear people complain, well, God chose Israel. He didn't choose me. But they hate the fact or the thought that God has a right to choose his own children. As he does, or his elect angels. God has a right to choose whomever he wants. For whatever he wants. He is the potter. We are the clay. God made that abundantly clear. Not just here, but over in the Old Testament also. See, the thing is, if God did not choose a remnant, he would have none. We'll get to that later. Well, we're going there now. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. What people fail to see is that God did not elect a remnant of anything for himself that would they would not be any. In Romans chapter 3, the question asked Apostle Paul in his letter, and Paul asked the question as he was writing the letter, nobody actually asked him. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, what then? Are we better than they, the Israelites? No. No. In no wise, Paul said, for we have before approved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. It don't matter if he chose them as his chosen nation. They're still sinners. I mean, my goodness, look what's going on in Ezra. The filth and the nastiness that's going on there. And over in, I think it's Malachi, where the priest, the watchman, turned their heads while the men went out and done away with their Jewish wives and went out and picked Gentile wives. For what reason? Because they're better? No, because they're better looking. It don't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, sin affects us all. We're all sinners. All of us. We were all conceived. I don't care who you are. I had a man to argue with me one time. He's a Pentecostal Assembly of God person. And he was arguing with me one time about, I saw a Jew that had passed away. He said, well, at least he got to go to heaven. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the Israelites are, the Jews are God's chosen nation. His chosen people. They all go to heaven. I said, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
You don't have any idea what you're talking about. If you do not believe God as Abraham did in the Old Testament, or if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in the New Testament, you're not going to heaven. I don't care who you are or what you are. So Paul pointed out that we are all under sin. So the answer, in no wise, that no human being is better than another, no matter who they are. We are all filthy to sin. I'm not better than lost people. Are you? I'm not. I'm not better than any lost person because I'm pastor of church. Nothing I do in my life makes me better than they. What makes me better than them is what God has done in my life. I'm not responsible for any of it. Everything I've done for the Lord in my lifetime has been by the grace of God, ordained of God, created by God, and sought through by God. If it wasn't for the election of God, I would be lost today. Paul said, don't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. You all are sinners. We're all born on this earth by the same father and mother. We all inherited his sin of condemnation. Paul wrote, we have proved before that Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. If God had not chosen Israel as his chosen nation, then he would not have had a chosen nation at all. He would not have a nation at all that he would call his. The fact that he chose them doesn't mean they're all going to heaven. That was his chosen nation to protect and look after and to love and care for. Doesn't mean he loved all the people in the nation. God had a remnant of chosen Israelites, just like he has a remnant of chosen Gentiles that are his. And now the others are. So if God had not chosen a remnant of the world to be his people, he would have never had a family. And that's what we are, ain't we? We're a family of God. But none of us would have ever come to be part of God's family if God had not chosen us out of this world. There's a difference between the chosen nation of Israel and God's chosen people. God's chosen people is God's kingdom. They're Christ's kingdom. We belong to the Lord. He chose us, sent his son to redeem us. So we go back to Ezra chapter 9, and we see how bad things were with the Israelites. They were bad. So bad, Ezra said, I pulled my hair. Can you imagine? He pulled his hair out. He ran his clothes. He tore them off. And he fell to his knees and he stretched his arms. He said, oh, my Lord. Look. What my people are doing. Not just here, he says, he goes back into his forefathers. In verse 7, he says, since the days of our fathers, we have been in great trespass unto this day. It didn't just start, Lord, it's been this way. And for our iniquity have we, our king and our priest, been delivered unto the hand of the king of the lands. Oh, do pastors not understand our responsibility to the Lord? Of what our service to the Lord as pastors are. We are the watchmen. We are the leaders in the churches. We are the teachers. We are the ones that lays down God's laws, and we are the ones that demand that the church members obey the laws of God. And so many pastors, they put their fancy suits on, they snap their suspenders, they pat their pocketbooks, and they say, isn't this a blessed day? Same thing today is going on there. Sin never changes. If the priests and the kings, if the pastors and leaders of the church allow sin to enter, it will enter like a fungus, like a mold, and it will kill everybody. It will kill the church. Because the Lord Jesus Christ will come in, take the candlestick, and walk out the door with it. Not to return until we return to our first love. Being the elect of God is a great responsibility. And the more the Lord does with you, the more responsibility we have. All the way up to the pastor, who has the greatest responsibility in the church. I'll be judged by the responsibility I have. I will be. Then Ezra goes on to say, let's back up to our kings and our priests have been delivered into the hands of the kings of the earth, to the swords, to the captivity, and to the spoil, to the confusion of face, as it is this day. Now let's verse 8. And now, for a little space, just a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God. You know, we are folk for grace. You and I are grace. No, we're grace because we're saved. We're grace because we're church members. We're grace because we're strong. We have backbone in the Word of God. We're grace because we won't allow the world to come in and take over. We won't give to the world and say, yes, we will compromise so that y'all will come and fill our pews and fill our treasury. That's what he's talking about here. Ezra had some people that were God's people of grace. And they were strong. So he said in verse 8, and now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God. Listen, to leave us a remnant to escape. And to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we are bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the king of Persia, and have given us a reviving to set up the house of the Lord and to repair the desolation, therefore, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. Grace! God had a remnant no matter what else was happening. In this world today, in the filth of this world today, God has a remnant. He did then, he does today, he will always have his remnant. His remnant will always stand as strong as he gives them the grace to stand. They will never surrender as long as God gives us the grace to never surrender. Wasn't for the grace of God, we would. We would. Grace is what keeps us. The fact that we are God's chosen remnant is the reason we have stayed faithful.
Amen.
I sure won't make it this far. Well, I'm going to make it this far. It was God's sovereign will and God's choice to have a remnant of Israel, to be God's chosen people. Just because they're God's chosen nation don't mean they're God's chosen people. God's chosen nation and God's chosen people are two different people. But some of God's chosen nation was God's chosen people too. We are God's chosen people. We're going to get into all this. I'm going to go step by step by step through all of this, step by step, to show you exactly how we as a church of Gentiles is linked back to Abraham, the father of many nations. God's chosen people. God's remnant. His chosen kingdom for his beloved son, Jesus Christ. Now we're going to start our first point. We won't finish it. But we'll pick up here next week. First point is, the elect remnant of God is both Jews and Gentiles. I think I've explained that in pretty well detail, have I not? Who made up the first churches? Jews. Right? Jesus said in John 1, I think it's verse 12, that he came unto his own. Who's his own? Jews. And they received him not. They rejected him. They hated him. They hated him so much that they took him out and beat him like a worse than a dog, so to speak. They beat him to a pulp, so to speak. They beat him unrecognizable, not because he was a sinner, not because he was doing anything wrong, because he said he was the Son of God, he was the Messiah, and he was rejected. And because of that, he was hated. And because of that, they crucified him. His own people. Paul said in Romans 3, I believe it was 9. I don't have it written down here. Paul said that it don't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, we're all sinners. We're all condemned. We're all going to hell unless God has chosen us out of the world not to go. Unless God has made us a remnant and of vessels of honor. Everybody else is going to hell. People can like it, they can hate it, they can reject it. I can care less what they do. You either understand or you do not understand. And if you don't understand, I can walk through this for the next 2 months or 3 months, step by step, explaining every step from Abraham to us. And you still won't get it. While Israel are part of God's elect nation and blessed because of it, they are not all the chosen remnant of the family of God. all Jews are not going to heaven. They're not. Paul wrote in back in Romans chapter 9, let's go back over there, Romans chapter 9. We're going to look at a different part of it now. And I'll go over this next week. I'll stop now, but I don't want to stop. I'm having fun. I enjoy this. You don't know how much I enjoy preaching this. This is my cup of tea right here. I may go overboard sometimes with it because I love this preaching. God taught it to me. That makes me love it. In Romans chapter 9, verse 6, Paul wrote, "Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel." Got your head on that for a second. Maybe Paul just didn't know what he was talking about. Don't even sound right, does it? Maybe I misread it. Let's read that again. "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel." No? Verse 7, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham." Just because you're the seed of Abraham, don't. They are all children. "But in Isaac thy seed shall be called. And that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God." But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Verse 9, this is the word of promise. "At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son." We're going to get into this next Wednesday night. I'm going to leave with this thought right here. God loved Jacob. God loved Jacob with an eternal love. God hated Esau. He hated Esau with an eternal hate. Both of them are Jews, right? Both of them are twins, right? They have the same daddy and same mama, right? They were twins. Esau's the oldest. Jacob's the youngest. So, even by birthright, God still loved Esau and not Jacob. God had one reason for hating Esau and one reason for loving Jacob. The reason God hated Esau is because he's a sinner. The reason God loved Jacob is because he is the remnant, chosen, elected remnant of God. That God chose before the foundation of the world. There's no other reason. There's nothing else separates these two. The reason that God would love one and hate the other. Not all Jews, not all Israelites are of Israel. You know, some Gentiles are too. We'll get into that later. Real quick. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there. We'll back in. If I just keep going, we'll be here all night. I've got a lot more to cover in here. And I'm going to sit down at the end of this week. And I already have my Sunday message put out. I just got crazy at this week. When I sat at my computer, I didn't get crazy with it anymore. I got all these Bible programs I open up to read. Next thing I know, I'm writing down messages, you know what I mean? I love this. This is, like I said, my cup of tea, and I hope that I don't bore you with this. I hope I don't get overexcited about it and make it not sound right. But when we find the end of this message, what we're going to find is we go from Abraham into the Gentile nation, all go back to the one who is the father of many nations, which is Abraham. God called Abraham the father of many nations for a reason. It wasn't a mistake. God doesn't write anything in the Word of God as a mistake. We got to figure out why. And the reason is because he is the father of many nations. People of many nations are a part of Abraham's seed. And we'll concentrate on that seed too. As one man once said, I read it, and he was right, we as Gentiles are not Israelites. Spiritually, we are. And we'll get into all that. So give me some time, and I hope at the end of this, you'll get a little more stronger learning on what God has for us and what it means to be part of God's elect. Let's all stand. Everybody have a blessed week.